favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
Ready? You're feeling good, dude. Now you're good. Now you're set. All right.
Laptops is being charged.
He's pleasant.
Microphone. How am I coming in? Good.
You sound good, brother.
All right.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's what I like to hear.
I forgot about the wrestling intro there.
Sounding good is all the macho man likes to do is a sound good, and sounding good is all he likes to do. Yeah.
Because I like the sound of my own voice.
Well, on that note, which isn't as good as the other segue we had, but that's fine. Shall we get started?
We'll eventually get a clean butthole segment at some point, Alex. That's going to happen. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was segue time.
No, as you walked away, you said we were just like, that would have been a really great segue. But it, alas, we had to cut all of it out. So anyway. Yeah,
we're here.
Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. Joining me, as always, is Phil Acevedo and Anthony Fuentes. I shook it up a little today.
Yeah, he caught me off guard.
That was weird. That didn't feel good. I don't know about that.
Wow. What? Oh, my God. Where to even begin after that?
No.
We are a confused mess. But it is Monster May, and so were the patrons in the movie, obviously.
Yeah. Can I just do it? Can I just do it one more time? This might be the last one right here. Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
He did the May. He did the Monster May.
He did the May.
He did the Monster May.
He did the May.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah, music swells.
You're getting better, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, guys, as we come to the end of Monster May...
Wait, don't we have one more after
we
this?
We do. We have one more after this. We have got a big one after this.
We're in the third quarter, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we are going back to the good old 80s. We're going to 1988. We're talking about The Blob.
The Blob.
The Bloob.
Oh, the Bloob.
The Bloob.
The Bloob.
Do you know how many times I typed The Bloob?
It's like, and then I typed The Boob, and then I just started searching boobs on Google, and here I am.
And here I am. It was a weird search spiral.
For some reason, I wrote the script for this one, and every single time I wrote The Blob, I kept on writing The Blorg. I have no idea where that's from. Isn't that like a Star Trek thing? Like The Borg?
Is that
every single time?
It is a Star Trek
thing. I think from what I remember, you know what? I'm kind of tired of Star Wars. I think I remember having a decent relationship with Star Trek, and I think I kind of want to start getting into Star Trek more. I do remember, like, Next Generation and stuff, but as I was writing this script, I'm like, why am I keep writing the Blorg? And then I'm like, where's that from? I'm like, I know what a Borg is. I think the Borg are those villains from Star Trek.
Yeah, but... Borgs are in Star Trek.
Yes. Mm.
They are, like, repeated antagonists.
Yeah, and I do remember
that.
The
Beetleborgs are from the 90s, TV show, before the Power Rangers came on. Yeah.
Wow. So. Mm-hmm. You just unlocked another 90s memory with that one. Beetleborgs. Do you remember VR Troopers?
Wait, that sounds super familiar.
VR Troopers!
Shit.
Go virtual reality!
God. Damn, you just unlocked something for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, we gotta come back.
We did.
What are we talking about?
All right, Winster. All right, let's go back. We are back in Monster May with the Blob, not the Blorg, not the Borg, not the Beetleborg, the Blob.
Not the VR Troopers would have handled this shit though, real quick.
They would have
real fucking fast.
VR Troopers would have knocked this shit out in a fucking heartbeat.
Oh,
no,
absolutely.
No cameo needed. But anyways, Winster. Why don't you start us off with a good old-fashioned IMDb synopsis, baby.
All right. Well, fucking IMDb is here to save the day. It is telling us that a deadly entity from space crash lands near a small town and begins consuming anyone in its path. Panic ensues as shady government scientists try to contain the horrific creature.
Mm-hmm.
Two sentences.
Mm-hmm. Decent amount of commas. It all, but also deadly entity from space crash. I don't know the flow of the sentences. Yeah, no. I'm gonna give it a 5.5.
Okay. I say structurally sound, wordy, but could have been much worse. 7.
I'm gonna go in the right in the middle with you guys with 6. Good predicate. Yeah, good predicate.
There you go. That's it.
All right. I'll go 6. Anyways, give some more info, would you please, Poinster?
Oh, gotcha. This bitch was released in August 5th of 1988. It was written by Chuck Russell and motherfucking Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
All right.
A young-ass Frank Darabont.
That's right, and I already know what Chuck Russell did, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the outline, so I'm not going to call it out, but it was also directed by Chuck Russell. Now, this was budgeted at $10 million? That's pretty expensive for the 80s.
Yeah.
And man, did it not make its money back. That is an 8.2 millionaire, I imagine, worldwide, which means it made jack shit.
Damn.
So, yeah, what a shame.
But did you see those special effects?
They were pretty goddamn good, actually.
Yeah, they were actually really good. Yeah,
yeah. Now, this was, it's starring Shawn E. Smith, Kevin Dillon, fucking Vinny Chase's brother, Johnny Drama right there. Johnny Drama. I thought it was
Victory!
Not Dillon. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Victory! That he didn't end it with that.
I know, right? Victory! That would have been the blob. That would have made this remake 100 times better if after, you know, he wins and takes the girl home. Victory! Oh,
absolutely.
For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's from Entourage, a famous HBO show from the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a fan of it. I really, a big fan of it.
I enjoyed it to the last 2 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
But it was like men's Sex in the City. That was the
it was. Yeah, it really was like men's Sex.
I love that you guys fixated on Kevin Dillon when we completely just passed over Shawn E. Smith, who is fucking Amanda from the Saw franchise.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. That's right. I found that out while I was putting together the script. Yeah,
I was watching it the whole time, and I was just like, who is that? I know that actress. I've seen her before. And then I was like, it's fucking Amanda.
Mm. Oh, fuck.
God damn it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but Shawn E. Smith wasn't in Viking Quest. Johnny Drama was.
That's true. As far as we know.
He's not Aquaman's brother.
Entourage lore for you guys.
So much Entourage lore in this episode.
I've known nothing about Entourage, so I am just...
It's cool. It's a cool show.
Very cool,
I don't think it's cancelable now. Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think it aged really well, especially with Jeremy Piven's Ari Gold.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that character, but no way would that character be able to survive in this day and age.
yeah. It's toxic masculinity, the show, but man, as young men, we were like,
we were young men at the time when this show was hot, so, that's... Continue a little bit with the cast, please.
I know, there's other people not from Entourage in this thing. So, Donovan Leitch Jr., Jeffrey DeMunn, who I believe is a Frank Darabont regular, and then Candy Clark and Joe Seneca. So that is the cast right there, and of course we're going to learn a little bit about this remake, actually. So it is a remake.
Yes.
So, young Frank Darabont was a production assistant for 1981's Hell Night, and that is where he met Chuck Russell. Mm-hmm. The two would later collaborate on the script for my personal favorite, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors fucks.
It's
I love that
so
one.
So fucking good.
Yeah. We have not covered that.
We haven't covered
really?
It yet. It's next on the list for Nightmare on Elm Street.
Next on the Nightmare list. That's
Can't
true.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we could cover it at any time, guys.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like a specific time of the year.
Nope.
Nice.
It used to be April, but we forgot about Nightmare on Elm Street.
We did? Oh, no.
it's the first April we did.
No. Sorry, guys.
If I remember, it was too many sequels in April, so we were like, it's not going to work.
Oh, yeah. So once
Once April O'Neil in the Ninja Turtles.
She's in this movie too?
Okay, from the top. Once Cinema Group Pictures obtained the rights to remake The Blob, production began in January of 1988 with Russell in the director's chair. As previously mentioned, this 1988 sci-fi monster flick is a remake of the 1958 sci-fi B-movie starring Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, who's supposed to be a teenager in that movie, and looks like a goddamn 45-year-old.
He's like 35, 40. Yeah. I saw the original. I've never seen the original.
I have not either.
I watched it over the weekend while preparing the script. So I got a double feature of the 58 blob and the 88 blob. And very cool. Later on, we're going to talk about the differences, similarities, and stuff like that. But the 58 one, holy fuck, is it 50s.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
First of all, it's in color, which is cool. And most 50s movies were still in black and white. But this one was like late 50s, so there was color in this. And man, the dialogue is 50s as fuck. Where a little boy literally says, like, "Do you promise?" And the girl would be like, "Yeah, I promise. All right, now go ahead, go back to bed." And he would be like, "Oh boy!" Like, literally, that happens.
Oh lord!
Okay. That's what I was gonna ask. I was gonna say, it's just like, is there like a Gee Willikers and like a Oh,
there's a lot of that. Yeah. So it's if you're interested, the 58 version of the Blob is on both Criterion Collection and on HBO Max. It's short. It's like 90 minutes also. Actually, I think it's a lot shorter than that. I think it's like 70 minutes. It's like an hour and 15 probably.
Oh, I could have squeezed that one in here. Okay. Seeing mid-30s Steve McQueen try to mac on some ladies.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of the 1958 version, in the 58 version, the creature that came from space was an alien life form that threatened to consume a small town in America. However, in the 1988 version, the creature that crash-landed from space turned out to be something a little different.
Hmm.
Darabont and Russell came up with a twist about the blob itself when in the third act of the film, the blob is revealed to be a biological weapon created by a shady government agency because it's the 80s and this is the Cold War.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So
we'll get more into that right now.
Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah. So, of course, this movie came out during good old Reagan era, where a constant race to outstage those pesky Russians was always going on, whether it be in weapons development or any other technological advancements. We're going to get to the moon first, goddammit.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, of course, when they came up with this twist that's not an alien life form like the original 58 version, this was a time where, you know, the Russia lived in America's mind rent free, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And whether it be everything, whether it be a race to the moon or a race to Mars or any kind of technological advancement. So also Detroit was kind of falling apart, and so much other Reaganomics BS was going on as well. So they were just like, hey, let's make this a little more believable. And they decided to go with this twist because they wanted people that were just kind of getting fed up with the 80s and all the shit, they were like, uh-huh, that's funny. It's funny because that could actually fucking happen.
it's funny. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
What do you call? I love it because a year after this movie released, the Berlin Wall did come down, so I think this movie may have stopped communism.
It single-handedly deductive stopped reasoning communism. Right there.
Well, America's big blob will be a blob too.
Oh,
Land
man.
Is blob too.
Blob bigger blob.
More blob.
The blob must blob.
All our money. Then it falls, and it all falls down, see?
That fucking blob that you just killed is John Wick's dog.
That's John Wick's blob.
I seen him kill three men with a fucking blob. Fucking blob. Alright, I think we're having a lot of fun here.
Okay.
Alright, let's go with this. I'll continue here with crash landings and ribbed condoms.
Oh my god, that bit was so fucking
great,
funny.
Great
so,
bit.
The blob opens up with a meteorite crash landing in Arborville, California, where an elderly homeless man and his dog discover this slimy creature thing emerging from the crash site, which, shout out to that dog, great fucking actor. That dog was like
what
super
a good boy.
I know. So that dog was so invested in, like, I'm sure, like, was like, oh shit, something really landed. I was watching the dog more than I was watching the homeless man's reaction to the crash site. He was so good. But this slimy creature grabs a violent hold of the man's hand and has him run uncontrollably around the forest. And this is where teen rebel Brian Flagg attempts to help the man when Paul and Meg run over the man with their car. It was, of course,
victory!
Brian, Meg, and Paul take the man to the hospital to get treated.
To get threatened for his injuries.
to get treated.
I mean, that's pretty much what they did.
Pretty much.
They were like, does he have Blue Cross? Like, get the fuck out.
Oh, my God. Even Johnny Drama, I am not going to call him Brian Flagg. I'm going to call him Johnny Drama. But he was like, these fucking people don't give a shit about us. Like, he's got a point. It's crazy how the, you know, medical insurance system in America in the 80s is still
fucked.
Happening.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Also in the 90s, because this exact same scene was replicated exactly almost beat for beat in Menace to Society.
Oh, wow.
Just so you know.
That is so fucking true. That is so goddamn true.
Isn't that weird, right? The Blob in 1988 and then Menace to Society, one of the most brutal hood movies, both had the same, like, I have insurance and you're kind of dying, so fuck off kind of scene. Yeah.
Holy shit, that's very true. Holy, wow, I haven't seen Menace Society in forever. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
And I totally remember the scene you're talking about, yeah.
It's just weirdly in common with this very different movie. Very different movie.
Oh, yeah. Let's continue in this hospital. Yeah. This hospital becomes a gross scene of good old-fashioned body horror when the Blob disintegrates the old man and later consumes, dissolves, and oozes poor old Paul.
Okay, can we pause here for a moment? I thought Paul was going to be the main fucking character.
Oh, yeah. No, man. That dude,
the
fucking
jock
out
with the most screen time?
Yeah, I thought he was set up to be, like, the main, like, all-American apple pie fucking hero. And then I thought Brian Flagg, with two G's, was going to be, like, the underdog anti-hero, like,
sacrifices himself.
Exactly.
At the end.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do something, like, but I was very pleasantly surprised when he got murked at the very beginning.
Dude, he got like Janet Leigh. He got Janet Leigh like a motherfucker. Great.
Janet Leigh. That's good. All right, but let's talk a little bit more about our boy Paul. All Paul wanted was to hook up with a pharmacist's daughter, even though the pharmacist thought it was he who was trying to buy the ribbed condoms.
Ah, yes. We love some good old high school hijinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love a sex equals death, but this time there wasn't even sex, so it was just...
It was just thinking about it. It was trying to have safe sex.
Yeah. Oh, safe sex got him. Wow. That's fucking horrible.
Oh, wow.
Oh. This is a different kind of 80s now.
That priest in the pharmacy is just annoying. But we'll talk more about him in a little while.
Just a second. So, classic case, of course, of shady government. So, since no one in town would believe Meg about Paul and his recent death, and the old homeless man being consumed by, of course, a large blob thing, she had no one else to go to except, of course, Mr. Brian Flagg. So, yeah. They meet at the town diner when the dishwasher would become another victim to the blob by getting sucked into the sinkhole, which, again, great special effects in all of this. Ugh.
Grossly, like, it was one of those things where I was like, this is kind of gross, and I was like, but I know it's, like, not accurate. Like, I know it's impossible, but also, like, now I'm just, like, new fear unlocked.
Yeah.
Getting sucked into a sink?
Now I'm like, oh my god, can something, like, somehow crush my entire body so I am able to, like, go down, like, my sink drain?
Don't go to the bottom of the pool. Don't do it.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll cover that one in Final Destination 4. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. That one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we never covered 3 either. Ooh, 3 is a banger. All right.
I've never seen 3.
No, Phil!
We'll get there. I know.
You've never seen 3? It's like...
The roller coaster?
That's the roller coaster one, right? Yeah. Yeah.
One and three are like the best ones.
One, three, and five. What about 2? No love for 2?
I have plenty of love for 2. I think it's one of the most consistent franchises of all time.
There's memes about that truck with the logs.
I know. It's cemented itself in iconography forever. I know it's traumatized a generation of people. But like, in terms of just like... good stories. One and three are like, it's a consistent franchise. And we're not talking about it. And this isn't the episode we're talking about.
No, that's so crazy.
I definitely have to cover that. You know, we're doing a month of all part threes that we missed.
We're going to find some part threes to cover.
We've got plenty. Paranormal Activity. Anyways, so, all right. Whew, where was I? I totally lost my fucking spot. Anyways, the blob would go on to chase after Brian and Meg into the freezer. But that is where they learn that the blob does not like cold temperatures. The blob is a parka wearing fucking thing. So, what a bitch, you know? The blob even manages to consume Fran, the diner's owner, and potential Mrs. Sheriff in a goddamn phone booth. Yeah.
That was sad. That was pretty fucked up. I was hoping that we would get more from them, and then nope. They get eight.
They seem like nice people, and this movie has like a pretty big disdain for safe sex and nice normal folks, and it's really anti-horror in a lot of ways, which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it kind of spits in the face of a lot of tropes.
But of course, later the teenagers come across a military operation led by scientist Dr. Meadows. Now, Dr. Meadows explains to the teens that this blob is a parasitic life form with means of malice and destruction. Then, he orders the teens to be placed in quarantine, taking this job very seriously. So, the town's movie theater becomes another victim of the blob, and Meg runs in to save her little brother and his friend. Ooh, yeah. So this, of course, is a scene ripped directly from the 1950s version, right, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie theater scene?
Yeah, this is straight up from the, this is something fans of, like, the 58 version were a big, like, big fan. It's an iconic scene in the 58 film, and they kind of did a little fan service by bringing it back in the 88 film.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the part where, like, the rude guy in the back was, like, annoying the kids, and he's the first one to get taken out.
Yeah.
Like, that was I was like, oh, and it's brutal. Fuck.
Yeah. I had to look up who the little brother was. I was like, dude, is that a young ass Ryan Gosling? And then I was like, dude, wait a minute, man. I was like, that looks like a fucking 8-year-old Ryan Gosling. And yeah, it wasn't, though.
Oh, no. What was he in?
I have no idea who this kid was. He was something else. Somebody else.
He looked like the kid from Return of the Living Dead 2 when we covered it.
Oh, yeah, he kind of did, huh?
He kind of does, huh?
Might be the same kid. I don't know.
Is it the same kid?
Yeah.
Is it the same
fucking kid? But I was convinced it was like, because he had the same fucking, that Ryan Gosling smirk and the hair. I was like, you look like the fucking young ass Ryan Gosling.
This scene also I love because the movie that they were showing was like Friday the 13th meets Halloween meets fucking Hellraiser. Like, they just combined every classic horror movie they could think of and made a parody of it.
Wasn't like a gardener or something with like hedges or whatever?
Yeah, mess.
Which,
We'll get to that in
a Letterboxd review. Somebody makes a reference to that scene, to that movie that they were watching.
Great.
I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can only imagine.
By the way, real quick, that kid was the kid from Return of the Living Dead 2.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Okay. Nice.
And this was his final film role. This was his last one.
Did he die? Yeah.
No. He just didn't want to. He didn't want to work anymore.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, no, he just went and fucked off and became a lawyer or something. I don't know.
I was like, fuck, dude, did he die? I was like, what the hell?
Huh. He died in the movie. See, there you go.
No.
No, wait, did he or no? I can't remember. What was the other guy?
No, the friend died.
Oh, yeah.
His friend, his buddy.
Yeah, of course. So Brian, of course, later finds out that Dr. Meadows and the military scientists are lying about the blob, which turns out to be a military biological weapon that has been mutated from outer space radiation. It's another one.
That's Tetsuo! The twist
right
there. Yep. Tetsuo!
Yep. So Brian also learns that Dr. Meadows and his team will be trapping the blob in the town sewers where Meg and the kids are trapped. Oh, again, very, very, very brutal.
The kids are expendable.
Yep.
Brian rides his motorcycle into the sewers to rescue Meg. Too bad for Eddie, the friend of Meg's little brother, who becomes consumed by the blob in a very brutal fashion. So yeah. Child death. That's, child death, eh?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're a bad influence. You get eight.
You get eight.
That's what happens when you bring your fucking AirPods into the movie theater.
And yeah, what the fuck? What's the point? What do you gain?
Yeah.
Losers.
I know. So, this is also a classic case of shady religious figures.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's got everything, man.
This movie's got it all.
Yeah, this movie does has it all.
So, the military and townspeople do what they can to fight off the blob. Soldiers throw grenades and flamethrowers at it, but it only pisses it off. I liked this because everyone was just like, what can we do to fight it? Nothing, apparently.
Yeah.
Meg and the others show progress as they take on the blob with fire extinguishers. So, I guess the gas in the fire extinguisher...
The CO2.
That's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah. It's cold. Mm-hmm. Huh? Oh man, can you just say that the blob is a little? We're not sending. You're not sending the blob to the cooler.
Oh my god!
Can you just say that the ice blob cometh?
No, I will not. I will not indulge you. Moving on.
Do you think that they kicked the blob's ice?
Oh, you know what I call that movie theater scene? It's a cool party.
What killed the blob? Fire extinguishers!
God damn it!
All right, we're two. We're
good. Minutes. Yeah, we're good. We're fine. How does it end, Alex?
Gosh, I know. Brian comes to the fucking rescue, okay? He shows up with his fucking snowmaker truck, which just so happened to conveniently be at his place of employ.
I saw almost no snow there. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Explosive charges are placed near the snowmaker's truck, the liquid nitrogen canisters, and blows the fuck up. This causes the blob to both explode and freeze into little itty-bitty pieces.
Mm.
The blob's crystallized remains are then placed in the town's ice house. It's like the Harry Potter music might as well have been playing. Like, this, like snow was falling. Yep. Like, everyone was just like, wow, we made it. Oh, no. Actually, I take that back. It's the ice dance music from fucking Edward Scissorhands.
Oh my god. Oh, that's fantastic.
That is so good. That could be edited into that.
Yeah. Like, just like, like, and that would exactly be it.
Oh my god, with an old Meg.
No. Johnny Drama would be like, and sometimes, bro, you could still catch me dancing.
There's Meg with the machine gun guarding the blob icy thingy.
While Johnny Drama is all dancing around the blob.
All elegantly as fuck, too.
And that was his secret. That's why he was outcast. It's because he has sick fucking dance moves.
Oh, that is so good.
All he wanted to do was dance.
Oh my god.
What, is this male can't do ballet?
I'm
good at this.
Can I please finish the movie?
You're almost there, Alex. You're almost there.
It's okay. I started this train with fucking I.
Yeah, the Danny Elfman
the
music.
The Danny Elfman music.
Yeah, that was perfect. That was perfect.
Oh, man. That's what I envisioned as I watched it. I was just like, this would fit perfectly. Anyway. So, during the final scene of the film, Reverend Meeker, scarred from his burns, reveals in a doomsday sermon that he still has a small canister of the blob's remains and menacingly says that the Lord will give him a sign for the day of reckoning. Cut to credits. Man, I kind of liked this ending. Like, all of a sudden, we're just, like, in this, like, tent on the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I'm like, oh, God, this is rough.
Yeah, it's silly, and I like it. Well, the whole fucking movie's kind of silly, but, like, that was just a very... Like, he looked like a straight-up fucking comic book villain.
Yeah, he did.
He looked like... kind of reminded me of the dude from Rangers of the Lost Ark. the guy who burns his hand, because he's also uh-huh. wearing like glasses and dressed in black, and like mm-hmm. he also looks very menacingly scarred and terrifying and shit. But we're gonna talk a little bit more about that ending in just a bit. But first, let's talk about a little more similarities between the old Blob and the new Blob. All right. So as Fwen mentioned earlier, there was some big differences between the original 50s Blob flick and the 80s remake. But the crew behind the 80s remake wanted to bring back key moments from the 50s original that fans were hoping to see in the remake. And one major scene that the 80s remake brought back was,
you mean
of course,
onk major scene, huh, Mr. Fucking Typo?
Nope. There is no typo. There is no typo. I don't know what you're talking about, because I didn't say it. As long as I don't say out loud said typo, there is no typo. New rule. No, I'm kidding. <You're
right. laughs> when Phil writes the typos, there ain't no typos.
So this movie theater was the scene that I'm talking about that fans wanted to see in the 80s remake. So in both films, we see the film projectionist not paying any attention to the Blob coming through the vents and eventually swallows him up and causes everyone at the theater to run for their fucking lives, right? Mm. Pretty cool scene. I love it. I kind of like, well, the 80s one was really cool, but the 50s one was probably like the best scene in the entire movie, because mm-hmm. It had that like 50s sci-fi B-movie feel to it, where it's like, run for your lives. And it really shows like, dude, the shaky cam in this. And like,
really? Yeah.
When the 50 in movies in the 50s were all placed on sticks on tripods, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
so it's really cool to see like a very interesting shots that were used in there. And it has like that 50s Mars Attacks vibe to it. Like, all we needed was like some fucking, like, I don't know, like Orson Welles to fucking narrate the thing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be pretty badass.
And but this the 80s one was a lot cool, because it's got that humor. That one jerk that kept on talking during the movie got what he fucking deserved. And yeah, no, it was. I like both scenes, actually. The 50s one's, like I said, best scene in the entire movie. But both of them are both special.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's see. And also in the film's climax, the teenagers and the rest of the town folk desperately search for fire extinguishers. This was like a thing. CO2 was like a big, like, it was in big demand during the climax for both films. And also, but that's pretty much like one of the main similarities between this one mm-hmm. and the old one. Big differences in the endings, of course. We already mentioned that the alien life form in the 50s is not the same creature in the 80s. This is like a man-made government experiment thing that's going to be used as a biological, you know, weapon.
Yeah.
The ending in the 50s was way sillier than what we got in the 80s. In the 50s, there is... The sheriff was on the phone, like just like that, with the government, and they're like, "We got to send this thing to the Arctic," and then literally they save Steve McQueen and the girl and the little boy, and then they're like, "So what are you gonna do with that thing, sheriff?" "Oh, it's already on the way to the Arctic right now as we speak," and they're like, "Okay, well that's good to know. The town is safe." Fades to black. Fades right back. We're in the Arctic, and you see this pod getting parachuted into the Arctic, into the snow. And that's it. It just literally says the end, and then a question mark forms, and that's
the end.
It.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So assuming that the Arctic doesn't melt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what the sheriff says. Like, well, assuming that the Arctic doesn't melt, this thing will be there until it stays until we're all until.
Yeah,
this, you know.
He meant it as a joke, but yeah. It's like a legitimate concern of mine.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
no, in the 50s, they weren't thinking about the Arctic melting.
They're like, no, we can kill with a bunch of CO2 in the atmosphere.
Right.
But it happens so fast, though. Honestly, like, they save Steve McQueen and the girl, like, literally 30 seconds later, the movie's over. And that's including the Arctic scene. You literally just have one wide shot of something being parachuted down, which is the Blob. and it just lands on snow. The end. Fade to black. It's like the fast. It just ends like that.
That's
it's like
interesting.
I feel like the filmmakers like, oh fuck, we need to end this movie at the fucking 75th minute. Like now. Like it just ends so fucking fast. In this one, at least you know, the movie, you know, the town is safe, and then we get this, you know, menace-y, this cliffhanger, I guess. This
yes,
you know, but. I don't know. Very huge differences. I think the 50s one's a little, like, rushed. Talk about fucking rushed. I'm telling you right now.
They used all that money on the theater scene right there. They're yeah. like, oh, and we got to shoot in the Arctic? No.
I think
so. Get some stock footage, baby. We can superimpose this shit.
Yep. It's like, in the 80s one, like, all right, we're going to Palm Springs out in the desert, and we're going to make it, we're going to shoot this out with some tents, and yeah. So, similarities and differences between 50s blob and 80s blob. But Fwenser, please talk to us a little bit about, give us some reception about the 80s. What did people think about the 80s remake?
I got you with that one. So Rotten Tomatoes leaves the blob with a 63% on the tomato meter with a 57% audience score. Oddly what? Divided. I know, what a bunch of fucking lamos. Anyways, mm-hmm. Leonard Maltin.
They hate fun. They hate
fun. They really do. Leonard Maltin says, Shawnee Smith screams and screams convincingly in this otherwise needless, if undeniably gooey, remake. Producer Jack Harris updates his own camp classic for the Stephen King generation, but the results are frustratingly mixed. It's my Leonard Maltin impression. He was very pretentious.
I was going
to
say that sounded
that
was very Maltin-y.
That's very Maltin-y.
Very Maltin-y. Anyways, even director Chuck Russell looks back and stated, quote, maybe it was a mistake to do a remake of The Blob with the sense of humor. I thought that would be an entertaining interpretation. Unfortunately, it was released late in a very hectic summer filled with big films, and it didn't have a particularly good ad campaign. So Chuck fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Yay.
Yeah.
Happens. Well, let's check out some Letterboxd reviews for a more modern take on what people think.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what that 57% thinks, baby. So, yeah. What were the overall totals? I don't have those here.
Oh yeah, I didn't include them, but they were pretty low numbers. I don't know why I did not include them, but they were literally like in the hundreds, I believe.
Ooh, I don't know. Oh, wow. I mean, again, it was a flop, so that makes sense.
Well, this movie also came out the same year as Halloween 4, Child's Play, mm-hmm. They Live.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Blob. You're a good movie, but Darabont did eventually recover, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So, anyways,
but Return of Michael Myers, though.
Yeah,
the start of the glorious Thorn trilogy.
Oh, and how could we fucking forget the best movie ever, 1988, Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Mm, ooh, you know, which
clowns.
Did this concept very interestingly also.
So. Yes.
Wait, when did The Stuff come out? Because that's also in the same vein.
The Stuff.
I gotta know.
Not 85.
85. Oh, shit. Okay. Wow. What an interesting time from the 80s, man. All right.
I love the 80s. I love the 80s so much.
Such great cheese. Anyways.
That was a good show on VH1. I love the 80s.
Well, oh, I love the 80s? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was in such a good show.
R.I.P. I don't know where he is, but Hal Sparks, dude, you may not be doing comedy now, but you defined a couple things in my childhood back in the day. You did good. You and Michael Ian Black will always be my boys in some way. alright, so number one Bratz fan, which might be Hal Sparks, who the fuck knows, with 5 stars, says, quote, The Blob kills a date rapist and someone talking during a movie. This is the most satisfying movie of all time.
Yes.
Hey. Yep. Yeah, that guy was a fucking creep. And you see his little fucking rings he had? He's like, oh, you have my ring. And he had like a million fucking rings in his trunk.
Yeah, I did see that. I did pay attention to that. His little like date rape kit in the back. She sleeps so fast.
Oh my god.
That dude reminded me of like a teenage Quagmire from Family Guy.
Oh, dude, yes!
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross, but totally makes sense.
All the rings, I did clock that, and I was just like, you are a piece of shit. Because it's also just like, you're wearing my ring. We gotta fuck.
You wear my ring. Have a drink. Let's go.
Yep. Like, come on. Fall asleep. I mean, wake up already.
Oh, he got marked. Anyways, Chris Evangelista, there you go, with 4 stars, says, wait a minute. Hockey season ended months ago.
Yes!
That's the quote from the hockey hedge trimmer movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Which they use hedge trimmers in The Burning. Like, it's just a combination of so many movies. Wow.
It really, really is. Yeah, Burning was out way before this one, too, if I remember correctly.
The Burning was...
like 81?
81, yes, you were correct. Wow.
Oh, we've covered a lot of goddamn movies here. Jesus Christ.
God. Also, highly recommend The Burning if you haven't seen it. Like, it's,
absolutely.
It's I feel like it's incredibly underrated.
It's a very quintessential 80s slasher for sure.
Yes. All
right. Mm-hmm. And Kenna with 4 stars says, the effects were some of the coolest I've ever seen. All caps, baby.
Yeah, the effects. I didn't touch too much on the effects here, but there was from... I don't know why I didn't even put it there. Well, there wasn't a whole lot, which is crazy. I couldn't find... a whole lot of information on like effects and what studio made it and stuff like that. The very little stuff that I did find was some of the material that was used for the blob. It was like this weird combination of like tissue paper with trash bags with a whole bunch of gooey shit that they made. And especially like when in the hospital scene when it consumed Paul, in order to make it look very transparent, they used all kinds of like different like polymers.
And, interesting.
That was weird. Yeah, that was pretty much all I was able to find as far as like, which is because this movie's special effects heavy. You'd think you'd be able to find a whole bunch of like info on this, but there really wasn't a whole lot to be on TBH.
Well, honestly, many 80s special effects bangers. This one just fell into the pile again. You get Predator was not that far after this, you know, or it was before this, wasn't it?
It was before. It was like a year before this.
Yeah. Again, you know, they're just again too many bangers in the '80s, and of course with that, Ash Tonic with another 4 stars says, "quote I love 80s practical effects. This was fun and well done. I might have to watch the original one day." Aww.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to watch the original one day.
Honestly, it's not a bad flick to have like in the background if you're doing if you're folding clothes if you're. If you're doing the F word.
If you're otherwise occupied.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not a bad flick, honestly. The 50s is not bad. It's just really 50s.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But we ain't talking about 50s. No, what are we talking about, Phil?
We're talking about the good old-fashioned, I love the 80s.
I love the
80s. I love the
80s.
Anyways, guys, we've reached discussion time.
Ooh.
Thoughts on the blob, por favor. Alex, you go first.
Ooh, okay. I had a pleasantly surprising, enjoyable time with this movie. I really, really liked it. The special effects was fun. The storyline was good. It kept me very interested. I was telling Anthony, when I rented the movie, I did end up falling asleep sitting up watching it, but that's mainly because I was tired, not because I was uninterested.
Yeah. You were beat.
To the point that like, it wasn't like that, I wanted to keep watching, and because I wanted to keep watching, I didn't like realize I was falling asleep and was like, all right, I'm going to finish this tomorrow.
Right.
I fell asleep on my couch and woke up like 6 hours later. It wasn't good.
To be fair, Alex, that Saturday we were drinking all day.
I know.
What'd you guys do after I left? Yeah, you know, we'll talk after. Yeah. But I totally forgot about Saturday.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so I overall really, really enjoyed the movie. I thought it, I don't know why people don't like it as much as like other classic 80s monster flicks. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it deserves a, it deserves a cult following for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
I think there kind of is somewhat of a following for this. I just don't think it's anything as like big as like a cult following for films like, say, a particular sequel to Nightmare on Elm Street, like Dream Warriors or They Live or, you know, Fire in the Sky, flicks like that. You know, I think The Blob, I think it's just one of those flicks that just got thrown in and with these big heavy hitters at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the movie's 30-something years old, 35 years old now, so it's like you would think there'd be a stronger cult following for this, but there's some fan base for sure, but I don't think it's just a strong cult.
Not a strong cult.
It's not a very active cult.
Yeah, no. It's like one of those guys that'll show up like every, you know, a few 10 years or something like that. Like, hey, what's on? We good? Oh, so The Blob, right? Hey, that movie's cool. Yeah, we love it. Yeah, that's cool. Anyways, man, so you ready for Chess Night, dude? Are we gonna do a bingo?
Yeah. It's just like less Jonestown, more Herbalife. There you go.
Yeah. Ooh, no, don't make that comparison.
What? I was just saying, it's not as strong a cult.
Oh my god, that's funny. Fwenster, give us your thoughts.
Oh, I fucking love this movie. I've actually have watched this movie. I watched it when I was a kid, quite a few times. My grandma loved this movie, so I actually hadn't seen it in maybe like 20 some years. So it was not one of the ones that stuck with me past grandmother time. So we would watch it because it was either on TV or she put it on the VHS. And kid versions of us, despite knowing that the date rape scene was wrong, like we still watched and like understood, like, oh, this is a good movie. Aside from that was weird even as a kid. Yeah. But I've always really liked it. I've always had a fond, like, recall of this movie, despite not having seen it in like over two decades. Like, it's always just been one of those ones where I remember thinking, like, yeah, that was a fun time. Now I really appreciate it. Honestly, you can definitely see the Darabont influences there.
Yeah.
By the way, the cinematographer, from what I remember, is David Lynch's cinematographer from the 80s. So it has kind of a Lynchian feel in some of like the interior scenes. Like, it has almost a Twin Peaks kind of look to it, which I think is really nice.
Yep.
Yeah. It's also just, I think it's smartly written. Despite characters being dumb, it knows they're dumb. And puts them in really dumb scenarios that are just brutal, which is fucking cool. I don't know.
I was just saying, like, that's one of the things about this movie that, like, the characters are incredibly dumb and they make very dumb decisions. And, like, the dialogue isn't well written, but, like, it just has this level of cheese to it that, like, I am in love with.
Yeah. It's like, you can tell it's made by fans of these kind of movies.
Right.
Like, there's clearly a lot of love poured into it.
Yeah.
The ending is Resident Evil as fuck. With Meg just was fired behind her on top of the ambulance, shooting a machine gun into the fucking final boss. Like, are you kidding me? Shinji Mikami totally ripped that shit for Resident Evil, hands down.
It was very, like even, like, Aliens-esque, like,
And she fucks up the machine gun at first because she's never shot it in her life.
Yeah.
And then it's like, gonna fucking save the day!
But that's also, like, a little, like, twinge of realism where it's just, like, if someone handed me a machine gun and was, like, defend people, I would be like, well, okay, like, this is gonna take me a second to figure out, but...
Yeah. That's like, okay, so I would say this movie is dumb in the details. Like, the details are just dumb good. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I personally was way more pleasantly surprised with this viewing of it than I thought I would be. So, you know what? This is a banger. And it's up there with The Stuff and all these other, like, Reagan-era 80s movies where filmmakers knew things were fucked, but the community didn't.
Like, The Stuff, They Live... Yeah. Like,
It's a lot of fuck you to the establishment, but I don't know, with studio money, which is nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, what'd you think?
I like this movie. I saw this probably once as a kid, but honestly have no memory of it. I have somewhat of a memory. I watched it once, I think with my dad, but I really don't remember. I remember a movie theater scene and like the town's like the climax at the end, and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But watching it now as an adult, I enjoy it. It's cool. It is dumb. It's fun. It's got that 80s cheese for sure. Some cringe dialogue here and there, and it's all fun. Like, it's part of that era of just like when they were just going insane with these horror films at the time and with monsters and special effects. Like, yeah, I really do enjoy watching the special effects, like just fucking blood guts everywhere, the dude getting sucked into a sinkhole, like that was really cool. And there was just a lot of I really do enjoy this film. It's cool. I don't think I'm gonna run back to it and watch it again. Like, it wasn't like it, I don't think it's, I can kind of see where, like, I guess a lot of people disregard it because it's part of an era where these heavy hitters also come from as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It feels like it just kind of... Maybe it just wasn't as super original. Well, it's not original. It's a straight remake. But it doesn't have like anything compared to this to like They Live or anything that we've seen from that era. Like it's if you watch the original, there's still a lot of similarities in there for sure.
Yeah.
Like we follow a group of teenagers trying to save the town, and the town is not believing them. You know, mm-hmm. like that theme is still in the original too, and it translates into the remake. But yeah, honestly, this movie's cool. I'd recommend it to anybody. Really, honestly, like I had a great time with this, and and it'd probably be a lot more fun if you're drinking with your friends and probably just doing some more drugs too.
you're like drinking is just the start, baby. No, yeah, this would definitely be a good group watch. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I would love it as group watch.
Yeah, watch it with your friends. Yeah, I'm sure it'd be a lot more fun for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question for you guys: if they were to remake this bad boy once again, in I cannot talk today. In our year of our Lord 2023, pitch us your modern day blurb movie.
Oh,
2023.
Okay, for sure. So, opening credits, The Blob. We're in a sleepy town. Just kidding. We are in New York City. The Blob is an ARG.
Oh.
That's the twist. The Blob doesn't actually exist at all, and people are actually just like hiding in a room somewhere.
Oh.
They're not actually dead.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
Okay.
It's ARG. Okay.
You're kind of going without what I was thinking. Like, my pitch for the twist of what the creature would be.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, it was an alien. The 80s, it was a government-made biological weapon.
Mm-hmm.
In 2023, I kind of was going to go with technology. I was going to like AI.
I was thinking like
play something with it.
Exactly, like a social media kind of like perception is reality kind of vibe. Like, because also ARGs just like make my brain hurt a lot of the time. So
yeah.
Wow, I love that.
If you need some time to think about it, Fointzer, I'll give you like two more minutes while I talk a little bit about
picture this. Because I was going to go AI, but now I got to pivot. So we're
I was just going to say.
I jumped on that fast. Sorry.
Yeah. You did. Good job.
No. I was just going to say I was going to say either a social media app or our phones turns into some like Akira Tetsuo, like just organic meets industrial Tetsuo the Iron Man type of deal where like it just forms into a big massive ball of technology and like something organic, something creature like and it just starts consuming a town, but it's like very very Tetsuo the Iron Man ish for sure. That would be my pitch for The Blob.
Okay. All right.
But it all started off with AI.
Okay.
And an app. It drove people to start killing each other, and then they form into this big meta organic metal ball blob thing.
But love it.
I like how it's like pretty. It becomes very avant garde. That is very 2023. Like, I dig it. I think mine would probably be a little more like political. So I would say. It definitely starts in like a town in a red state. And it's one of those ones that's like, drill, baby, drill. We're going to have like, oh, no, you can get the oil from here. And then the oil unlocks this ancient fucking blob that's been sitting there. Just makes its way through America. So we're going international or we're going national with this bitch at first. And then, then it becomes this whole divisive things like, is the blob like trying to kill like evangelical Christians here because it's only in rural areas, and that's the narrative for a while until it's a blue state and it gets a city, and then once this first city it's like, see, fucking deserved. And so we follow the blob as a story in America. Instead of Americans fighting the blob, they are blaming each other for the blob's existence and saying that they deserve the pain because we are so divided. That's what happens. And in the end,
could this be an allegory for?
In the end, the blob takes out Congress during a session when they're trying to figure out what to do with it. And then that legitimately unites the rest of the people who are having a riot right outside unrelated to the blob.
Wow.
So there we go.
Wow, Flynn.
That was beautiful.
Oh,
that
thank was. You. I literally didn't even know about the Congress thing until, like, I said it out loud. So that was a stream of consciousness. You invited my tech talk about how this is going to become a reality eventually. So, yes. Drill, baby, drill!
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Oh, save the planet, God. People.
Well, that's... if there's anything else, let's go ahead and rate this sucker. What do you, yeah,
let's do yeah. it.
All right, rate the blob out of 5 fire extinguishers. Funster, go ahead.
Oh, this is a 4 fire extinguisher movie for okay. me, actually. I think it's a solid 4. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a 3-point-something based off my mm-hmm. memories. I was like, I know it's good. It was well above average. I think you can see Darabont's influence. It looks mm-hmm. fucking phenomenal. It's a clean 90 minutes. There's always something happening. I'll watch it again. I think it's a fantastic film. Not perfect. Definitely lame in some parts and really fucking cheesy. But you know what? You got Johnny Drama as the protagonist. Just give it to me. I'm with it. So, yep. Victory! 4.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Webster, go ahead.
I am also going to give this a 4. Flynn and I all are right. on the same wavelength right now.
Yep.
I agree. This is, like, for me, it's, like, the perfect level of cheese. It's, like, not the... Like, it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I had so much fun watching it, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that I haven't seen the original, Phil, and I know you have, so I don't know if mm-hmm. that, like, colored how you saw it, but I had a blast with this movie. I thought it was really fun. I was expecting, like, an 8. Like, I wasn't sure if it was going to be, like, a snooze fest or not. Mm-hmm. I with the name The Blob, I was kind of like, how exciting can this be? But I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. I think you guys enjoyed this one a little bit more than I did. I'm going to go 3.0.
Don't let our ratings influence
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, you say it from your heart, Phil.
I was gonna go 3.5. Because I was like, if it's 3.25, no. But then I really did enjoy this one. I was like, I'm going to go 3.5 only because, like, there was a lot of good time. Like, it's a fun fucking time. This is a movie that I really, really like to see in a movie theater. Like, yes. if they were to release it, I'm there. You know, like it's gonna. I'm for sure gonna be there with some popcorn and some fucking snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like some parts where I'm just like, oh man. All right. Okay. Okay. This is. I know this is an '80s cheese and fantasy, but like, some parts are like, okay. All right. This is the type of movie. All right. But yeah. That's it. Yeah. But that's it. Like honestly, I still had a blast. I would watch it again. I dig it. It's just like if I were to go 4, I just think I don't think I liked it that much, you know.
That's fair.
But I did enjoy this. Yeah, hell yeah, it's cool. It fucks. Yeah, that's my rating right
there.
Oh,
that's your official. his new official rating, whether or not it fucks.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
does this movie fuck? Yes
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, it fucks.
Oh, I can't wait till he hates movies. Like, this movie does not fuck.
This movie does not fuck.
Nah, mm-hmm. it suffers from erectile dysfunction.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, man. Right, well, if there's anything else to say about this flick, that would be a good time. But if not, Alex, take it away.
This was a great movie. Highly recommend you watch it.
Watch it. I'm with you. Watch it.
Yeah. Watch it. Check it out for sure.
But let's go ahead and call it there. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That was The Blob from 1988. Next week, we have Anthony. Would you like to hint?
My God, it's one of the most fundamentally important movies in monster movies ever. What? And it had a terrible remake.
So what could it be? So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, thank you so much everyone for joining us this week. If you like what you heard, please make sure you are subscribed wherever you're getting your podcasts. Please make sure you also, if you haven't already, left us a rating. It does, you know, boost our numbers and it does help other people find the podcasts. So thank you so much to everyone who's already done that. And if you could just take a second to do that, we would appreciate it so, so much. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. We are also part of the Horrible People's Network, and you can check that out on Instagram at Horrible People's Network, HORRORBLE People's Network. And then you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. You can find Phil on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo. And I think that's it for this week. I'm just going to say, once again, stay out of the woods and don't touch weird gelatinous... Don't touch goop.
Don't touch goop.
Don't touch any blurbs on the way.
Don't touch the blurbs.
Yeah, get turned into a commie. Don't do it.
Mm-mm. Oh, no.
Lakers just got swept.
Bye. Oh.